Well, Congress probably says, well, God doesn't exist, so that's why things happen. We're left to ourselves, and the universe is imperfect, people are imperfect, and there's no control over things. Rabbi Kushner came to the conclusion that there is a God, but he's not all-powerful. He can't control what's going on. He's a good God, he models goodness for us, but no control over the events of life. And there are a number of other various opinions that you can come to. But Jeremiah was saying, well, I know there's a God out there. I know there's a God out there that can do some miraculous things. The nation of Israel came into existence by a miraculous event crossing the sea, which the Egyptians trying to do couldn't do. God closed it up. So I know he's powerful, but why? And when we concluded our study last week in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 54, Jeremiah stated, "Water flowed over my head, then said I am cut off. I'm going down for the third time. I'm drowning. And I'm ready to die." Where is God in all of this? Dr. Bob Jones Sr., many, many years ago, said that a man cannot be saved until he first realizes he's lost. I agree 100% with him. But I want to add a little something to the end of it, because I think there's another condition. Not only can a man not be saved until he realizes he's lost, but until he realizes he's lost and can do nothing to remedy this condition. A couple of years ago, when Carol and I were touring Washington, D.C., we were trying to head back to the motel where we were staying that night, and we were coming right from downtown Washington, and I knew if I went up one street, and when I came to another street, if I turned right, it would take me right to it. And we headed up the first street, found that, and we were going, and I'm waiting for this cross street, and I never found it. And we kept going. And the farther we went, the farther I knew. We passed it somewhere back there. But if I turn right on one of these next few streets, eventually I think I can get where I want to go. And we started traveling through some wonderful places in Washington, D.C. Places with iron bars on the doors and windows. Finally, frustrated that I wasn't getting to where I wanted to go, I did that which was unthinkable to 99% of all males. I stopped and asked for directions. Because I knew I knew no matter how far I was traveling, I was just getting more lost. And I stopped at a Dollar General store that had an armed security guard. We were in a wonderful section of town. But I wouldn't have stopped until I realized I was lost and realized I couldn't do anything to remedy my condition. That's where Jeremiah is. I'm going down for the third time. Waters are flowing over my head. I'm cut off. What are you going to do then? Verse 55. I call upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Lord, help. I think that's basically his prayer. It's not recorded here, but I have a feeling that's what he said. Lord, help. I can't do anything to remedy the situation. There's no one around me that can help me, only you. And whether it be out of desperation, or whatever motivation, he looks up and says, Lord, I am willing to call upon you, for you're the only one who can help. And God honored that prayer. Verse 56, thou hast heard my voice. God only hears one voice, one word from those who are unsaved, and that's the word, Lord, saved. I hear a lot of people who know not the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior saying, oh, I had this prayer time, and God answered my prayer. According to Isaiah, God does not hear the prayers of the unrighteous. Not that he can't, he chooses not to. If they're not willing to come to me for the greatest of their needs and believe on me, why should I bother with the lesser of their needs? It's the logic behind God's argument. I sent my son to die for their sins that they might have life, and they rejected the greatest thing that I could do for them. Why should I be bothered with the lesser things? It's not that God doesn't want to get the lesser things, but if man is going to insult him by refusing to receive his son as their Savior, God says, I am absolutely just in not giving anything else. So he said, well, then why didn't he answer their prayers? You know, I prayed that it wouldn't rain and it didn't rain, or I prayed for someone to get better and they got better. Could it be that God just divides in his wisdom for those things to happen apart from that person's prayers? Well, who says that unsaved person was the only one praying those things? Jeremiah called out, Lord, help. Save me. God heard that cry. And now he's come to Christ, and he has life that is eternal. And he continues in calling out, hide not thy ear at my breathing, at my cry. Lord, here am I in this pit. I know that you hear me. Don't turn your ear away from me. And what does God do? Verse 67, thou drewest near in the day that I call upon thee, thou sayest, hear me. Lord, I'm going down for the third time. The waters are overflowing my head. I'm in a dungeon. I'm cut off. And you're telling me not to fear? Yep. That's what I'm telling you, Jeremiah. How can a person not fear? How can we live in a world that is as crazy as it is and not be afraid? Last Sunday, I gave the answer in Sunday school class. For those of you that were here, I'm going to take 30 seconds and review the class. Put up with it. For those of you who weren't here, the answer is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Which says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God purposes things. Things don't happen randomly. Things don't happen without thought. Things don't happen without purpose. If I know that all that I'm going through, God has planned for a purpose. And he goes on in the passage to talk about how in salvation God has called, or God has justified, and God has glorified, and God has predestined. He set out an end that we will once get to at the end of it all. Because he is a sovereign God. He's in control of those things. If we know all those things, if God be for us, who can be against us? And therefore, knowing that God is in control and has a purpose for the things that happen in my life, I needn't fear. I don't know if you had this in mind, Larry, tonight when you were going through, in my might be glorified, that you said about if we lose a loved one, have we lost? I couldn't help but Philippians chapter 1. For me to live is Christ, as God is gain. Purpose. Lord, there's a lot of rotten things going on around me. But you saved me. You saved me for a purpose. You used these events in my life for a purpose. I may not necessarily understand them, although in Jeremiah's situation, he knew that the people had sinned. And God brings things into our lives when we sin. for the purpose of chastisement. But God brings things into our life even when we haven't committed necessarily acts of sin, causes to grow. He has a purpose. O Lord, thou hast fled the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. You have purpose. You have bought me. You're not going to discard me. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. And he's talking about the nation here. Judge thou my cause. Lord, here am I. I know you have a purpose for me. But that doesn't negate everything that's happening around me. And Lord, if you are a God of justice, then how can you let these people do these horrible things? Don't they deserve justice? And he lets them have it. Verse 60. Thou hast seen all their vengeance and all their imaginations against me. Thou hast heard their reproach, O Lord, and all their imaginations against me. The lips of those that rose up against me and the device against me all the day. Behold, they're sitting down and they're rising up. I am their music. Lord, they're playing me. They're doing everything that they can to make my life miserable, make my life painful, make my life hard. This isn't right. Lord, if you are the God of justice, then what are you going to do? And like all good people, we want to tell God exactly what to do. Verse 64, render unto them a recompense, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them sorrow of heart by curse unto them. Persecute and destroy them in anger from under the heavens of the Lord. Well, that doesn't sound very Christ-like, does it? Yes, it does. Because God is a God of justice. And you know what? God answers that prayer. 70 years later. Well, wait a minute, God. We want your justice now. There's a verse I shared with you this morning that I want to repeat again tonight. 1 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:1. One of those books. God is not willing that any should perish, but is long suffering for us. And God waited 70 years for everyone in that Babylonian army that came and roused the city of Jerusalem to come to a place of repentance to be saved. And in that 70 years, he accomplished all his purposes for the nation. Could he have done it a lot faster? Well, I guess it's another choice. Of course, it would have required the people to respond to him a whole lot faster. But it's interesting to note, too, one of the sins of the nation of Israel was that they profaned the Sabbath. The land was supposed to be left fallow every seventh year. And in the course of their history, in the years that they negated that commandment, totaled 70 years. Which, when the Jews were deported, the land lay fallow for 70 years. God was infinitely just. He accomplished his purposes. The people repented. And Babylon was destroyed. The Medo-Persians came along. And, well, if you go to the book of Daniel, Belshazzar was having that feast one night and he saw that hand writing upon the wall. Weighed in the balances, he found one, and that night, the kingdom was gone. That didn't happen in our lives. Anyone here say, no, never had that happen to me. they've been so. And you say, Lord, why? And the answer is, I have a purpose. You may not understand it now. It may take 7 years for you to figure it out. But in the end, God will be just and His purpose accomplished. Fear not. God has a plan. And just call on the God of justice to work it out. Father, tonight, in all the rotten things that are going on in this world, you have a plan. You are out there. You exist. Unlike this boss Hendricks, who says, you don't exist. You are a sovereign, omnipotent God, unlike Rabbi Kushner, who says that you're just a good God, but unable to do anything for us. For we know that you sent your son to die on Calvary's cross that we might have life. And so we possess that life. We can't understand the things of this world. But if God so loved us that He would send His Son and is for us, who can be against us? In the end, whether it takes 70 minutes or 70 years or 70 millennia, your justice will be enacted. Your purposes will be accomplished. And God will be glorified. Lord, help us to rest tonight in that we fear not. Lord, help us to see the invisible hand of God that's moving. Help us to hear the inaudible voice of God that's speaking. Help us to sense the heart of God that's always beating towards us. And respond with praise, service, worship, and faith. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.